Sorry for that, but in Latin America normally we are not used to reach standing up, so it's much comfortable. I start for saying thank you, Paul, for this invitation, and thank you, you all, for coming here. I apologize for my English. I will try to do my best, but it would be worse than I thought, because today I had a canal treatment, so I under anesthetic. So there is my pronunciation, my bad English, and anesthetic. So be patient, please. I will read some poems in English and the original versions of some of them in Spanish. That book just has been launched 1 week ago, first in London and then in several cities and towns in Wales. It was translated by a Welsh poet called Richard Wynne, a really good poet and a good friend of mine. So there is the chance of just showing a little bit of that here. The choice is not mine, the selection is not mine. Richard did that selection from three of my publishers' book and from several of the unpublished poems yet that are going to do other collections in the future. So it's a book that doesn't exist in Spanish, it's just in English. So I start then chronologically. It's a poem called Culture. In my house, I have more poetry that I can read. There is nothing more lyrical than the wind brushing against the thighs of that woman I see on the terrace. Ah, those beats are sweet. Truly, nothing is more lyrical than the wind. How love becomes a memory of love. Between two cups of tea, I speak the past tense of the woman I love. I lay down a trace of her in the conversation. It doesn't matter how deep that trace might be. The result is the same. She was, she did, she said, she went. There is a writer in Argentina called Juan José Sáez. For us, he's the second great writer after Borges we have. He's translated into English and not known at all. I took some of his lines for open, as an epigram, opening that poem, which is called After a Journey. The Sáez line said, "From this empty coast, I retain above all the abundance of sky." When one returns, the car are less shiny, and everything seems sad and provincial except the sky. What can one say about the sky of Argentina? When one returns, the sky is blue, like a knife. I'm one of those guys who are completely crazy about jazz. I think it's one of the best things we can do with the trousers on to hear jazz. But you can hear it without trousers too. I'm as a huge fan of jazz, I got the idea of rewrite some standards of jazz. You know, standards are those songs that everybody play because everybody know the song, and they want the musicians want to prove what else they can say about those songs that were played by everybody. So I thought I will use the subjects of poetry, love, hate, war, etc., as the songs of the standards, and I will try to rewrite the lyrics of some of those standards, thinking in particular versions of that. There is a musician, Keith Jarrett, the piano player, that plays standards, but according to the versions of other musicians, inspired by Russians and foreign musicians. I tried to do that with that book called Standards, and being Argentinian, my jazz standard became tangos. Weaver of dreams. Obstinate memory finds in the ordinary extraordinary material to dream with. It's something like looking out of the window and seeing there's a firework display and people leaning out to watch, looking on with shoulders hunches, trying to hold some detail in the retina, not jumping. Smoke getting your eyes. She says, you have red eyes, and he listened to what he must listen to, lights a cigarette and thinks that there's no room to think of anything, that love is a radiance in the memory, a glow in the memory, oblivion. These foolish things. The wall is pierced by a nail from which nothing hangs. Everything drowns in coffee dregs. There is only one cup. I would say that these things remind me of you, and I write that these things remind me of you, but there is also a basket filled with paper. All the things you are. I paid all your bills, watered your plants, had the key you asked for cut. Afterwards, I saw down your feet contours in your shoes and sat on the edge of your bed to see through the window the things that you see when you come home alone. Now, for another book called The Last 3 Years, Los Últimos Tres Años, I will read first in Spanish and then in English. Presión del instante. Ahora exactamente un submarino cruza el mar. Adentro alguien golpea. Sigue el ritmo de la música con la cuchara de la sopa en la pared de acero. La cinta es vieja y lleva escrito grandes éxitos. Pero desciende el submarino y aumenta la presión hasta llegar al punto en que las cosas empiezan a hacer crack. Arriba alguien que lee sobre la arena de una playa se distrae siguiendo con la vista a un pájaro que pasa surcando las nubes desfecadas. Un instante preciso en que el sol y el cielo rojos, la curva trazada por el pájaro que la mirada sigue, la espuma dura y blanca de las olas ocultan la explosión. Después, el horizonte como siempre, la cresta de una idea sumada a la resaca, una medusa seca, los pólipos, la toalla, el viento de la tarde que agita las páginas del libro, un brazo o una pierna que llegan a la costa, acaso una gaviota. Pressure of the moment. Right now, a submarine is crossing the sea. Inside, someone is tapping, following the rhythm of music with a soup spoon on the steel wall. The recording is old and is titled Greatest Hits. But the submarine descends and the pressure mounts until it reaches the point at which things begin to crack. Above, someone reading on a sandy beach is distracted by a bird's flight overhead, cleaving the frayed clouds, a precise instant in which the reddening sun and sky, the curve traced by the bird which the gaze follows, the hard white foam on the waves hide the explosion. Afterwards, the horizon as always, the crest of an idea joined to the undertow, a dried jellyfish, polyps, towel, the evening breeze with rust through the pages of the book, an arm or a leg washed up on the shore, maybe a seagull. I work mostly as translator. A publishing house once asked me to translate the Ulster cycle as was written by Lady Gregory, and I did so, and there is that reflection. Epics. All this pen translating the history of a legendary war, which in fact was only a chicken raid, and the brutal response of vulgar kings, whom repetition transformed into epic heroes. That night, a friend who is a poet talks to me about a footballer, a talented defender, a fantastic player, he tells me. Fantastic he was not. The bars, they exaggerate. I'm from a big city, Buenos Aires is a big city, as big as London, for instance. And I used to big cities, I mean, I don't understand small towns, I don't understand the countryside. I like to live with the noise, the pollution, all the people around, etc. But the all big cities I know, and I know several, the only one which I never understood was London. It's too much complicated. When I say too much complicated, I mean there's so many things in there that I cannot understand that I gave up. So I wrote that poem about London, which is called Regent's Canal by Downing Street. Barely contrasting with the frozen winter earth, the drift of the canal's green waters, the English rain, and that crow shuffling along the branch as if to say, I'm from around here and I don't have time to waste on a stranger. The crow joins the afternoon's information in this city of brick houses and slow ceremonies, one more constant that the man that takes as given, along with the barge, the bottle, the fellow with his rod and overcoat fishing from the bank, with worms that he keeps in a shoebox. So the foreigners stick to that canal, searching behind the locks, behind the hibernating boats, behind the sound for ghostly footsteps crossing Noel Road, for a custom he's lacking, a way of things he cannot understand. Poets. Like Plato, check them out, send them packing with a kick in the arse. Worse still are novelists who don't read poetry, illiterates. This is something in that the next poem that happened the first time I came to Ireland in 1991. I attended a reading, and it was a reading in Irish, and it happened that the poet that was really just looked at me the whole time. Of course, I don't understand Irish. And that poem is called Languages. Eliot said, we can be moved hearing a poem reciting a language of which we understand no one word. That's why I went to listen to what it might sound like. And that poet standing at the lectern, a little dishevelled, probably not knowing I was a stranger, had chosen me. The man received looking me in the eye, and I wanted, I really wished, to justify my time hearing those sounds and be moved. After every verse he watched me, making of me his ally, asking for the support that only what an uncomprehending gaze can offer, while the world trembles in the space between and do people think. Outburst. While translating a biography of Gershwin and reading again of his successes, the many testimonies of his contemporaries, I realize that I too know illustrious people and a few who are genuinely talented, who build a lot of the world's depths and bitterness. But later, I go back to work. What I really want to say is that talent is not enough. Is never sufficient, that you have to be born in the right place at the right time, you have to be lucky and be noticed, and whoever claims otherwise is a cretin. Certainties. After several days, the tomato sprouts a filthy crown. Whales migrate towards the north. The crocodile submerged in the reeds awaits his moment. Desert cacti blossom on the in the rain. Watercress always grows beside a ditch. Mud gives way and brings down a mountain with its cargo of sticks and stones. The remains of the wreck lie dead, lost in the deep of solitary seas. Wood rots, and in the snow there is a white rabbit and a puma giving chase. Both run in silence. They know what each one has to do in this drama. To pursue, to accelerate, swerve, whose pole strips out, whose back is broken. Everything knows what has to be done, not me. And I will read some collected poems, and I will try to do that bilingual. Of course, because they were the last two or three years are the last I like the most, so I will allow myself to do a bilingual reading of some of them. La lluvia a mano. No sé por qué, pero querría mencionar las posibilidades de la lluvia, su modo de golpear sobre los tachos, su forma de colarse en los zapatos, de rodar sobre el vidrio, meterse en el poema, precisamente ahora, que ahora está lloviendo en esta página, y llueve, como dijo Tuñón, con todos los tambores de la lluvia. Después no sé, pero ahora llueve, y quiero dejarlo aquí anotado, por si alguien necesita la lluvia como yo. Rain at hand. I don't know why, but I would like to mention the possibilities of rain, its custom of hammering on the beams, the way it seeps into shoes, streams over glass, works its way into the poem at this exact moment, and right now it's raining on this page, and it rains, as Tuñón said, with all its rain drums. Afterwards I don't know, but now it's raining, and I want to make a note on it, in case anyone needs the rain as I do. I'm from the time in which the Beatles records were launched, and it wasn't launched several years ago. I was just in the record store as all my cameras waiting for the record to be sold, and as in any part of the world, Beatles are in the DNA of my generation. So I wrote that poem, which is called Norwegian Wood. A man of my age passed by whistling. The day has been stifling, and even now it's hot. So it's best not to think of anything. And I guess that song was from a long time ago, when the world was lighter and more fragile, like a spider's web that one day will be torn apart. I stole three lines in that poem to a very ancient song, Irish song, and poem that I love a lot. I discovered that in that John Huston film made on the death by James Joyce, the short story from Dubliners, and I say, well, okay, I will stole those verses. So I confess, I'm in Ireland, I have to confess that. I read it first in Spanish. Tecnología. El mensaje decía, es como si me hubiera soltado de una mano amada, y hablaba también de llorar en público. Después se fue y se llevó el este y el oeste, lo que hay detrás, lo que hay delante, se llevó el sol y hasta la luna. Dejó solo estas palabras que anoté, que no sé leer. Technology. The message said, it's as if I had let go of a beloved hand, and spoke also of crying in public. Then she was gone, taking the east, taking the west, what is before, what is behind, taking the sun, and also the moon, leaving only these words that they copied down, and I don't know how to read. I had a daughter of 19 and a son of 12. My daughter is called Anna, and she's a very passionate person. Anna again. When I think of her, I see myself at her age, just as passionate as she is. Friends used to mean everything, but now friends are beginning to die off in various ways, and some deaths are irrevocable. I hope it takes my daughter a while to realize, and I don't tell her anything, but I see her detached, beautiful, always. I will end, may I? No, she was pushing to keep reading. With a poem, which is an experience that I suppose everybody has to pass one day. It's called Closing Up the House. Beyond the absence and the tremendous absurdity of what follows, habits such as calling every day, for example, are hard to banish. I am not sure if there is any such thing as a true measure of death until the house is empty, because what once had a meaning and of course a story can barely be summarized in an inventory. Two paintings, an armchair, chair, the stove, the bed, and the sideboard. The English china already doesn't count, nor the card games, the silver, first editions of nothing that now matters. They are only things, they are all things, objects that hover about the rooms with no purpose. Thank you very much.